I'm joined by Blackpool's Basil Newby, just as he announces his retirement from the showbiz industry here in Blackpool. Basil, it's a sad time, I guess, is it?
It's a sad time, but it's the right time. I've been doing it 47 years nearly, Andy, from the original Flamingo, as you well know. And I just feel like Funny Girls need some new blood to it. And for those that ever watched Are You Being Served, and old Mr. Gracie used to wheel him in and say, you're all doing very well. And I don't want to end up like that. I want to be able to still go into Funny Girls and see a new, vibrant... I want it like the Moulin Rouge that's still there in 30 years, that everybody comes to Blackpool, wants to go to Funny Girls, which they do at the moment. And I wanted to stay like that.
What's been the reaction since you made this announcement?
It's been really emotional and surprising. It's been an earthquake, as hit my Facebook step. And the messages I've got have been so emotional. I mean, you contacted me the other day when I was reading them. I was just so upset. And I'd love to just reply to them all, but obviously I just couldn't. But to any of those that have sent in and that are listening, thank you so much. And those words really do mean a lot to me.
It must have been quite a decision to make. You talk about wanting more Baz time. That's a thing, is it?
I do. I mean, you're sat here now in my home and you're looking out on the grounds, on the giant redwoods that I've got this passion for, that I planted 40-odd years ago. And I'm here with my Falabella horses and 40 acres of land. I'm very blessed and very lucky. But I feel like I've been like 24/7 for them years. I mean, the village think I'm a vampire, and they used to see me going out at night and coming in at the early hours of the morning. And I just want some time to enjoy the home. And obviously, Ian, my partner that I've lived with for 40 years, we want to go and see a bit more of the world and visit places and do stuff before I'm too old. I mean, everybody goes on saying, how old are you? And I say, I'm 74, 75. And they say, you don't look at the lovely, they've got cataracts. And they say, you're like Peter Pan. I said, I'm more like a bedpan in the morning, not like Peter Pan. But I'm still in my head, that lad that got that flamingo in those early days and dancing on that fabulous flamingo dance floor.
Let's go back to 1979 then, and where you started the Flamingo, which was quite revolutionary in its time and built in a place with ladies of the night downstairs, I believe.
It was upstairs. It was just the top floor, and I'd got a fancy goods shop on Chapel Street called Go Gay, and I'd met Sammy, who was a boyfriend at the time, and then Peter, who was a policeman, because the police station was across the road, used to come over. And he used to say to me, why don't you open a gay club? There's no gay clubs in Blackpool. And I thought, my worthy. So I sold Go Gay and went and looked at the Flamingo Club. And Walter Thompson had it, that used to have the Galleon Club, the original Galleon Club as well. And I put an offer in. And then Sammy Lee, that you knew very well, was my solicitor, the most lovely man ever, sadly no longer with us. And I went and he said, you're the first gay person to hold a licence, Basil, and you're classed as an unfit and improper person to hold a licence. So never let the police know that you're gay. And when I took over the Flamingo, the police used to come in and you'd have to give them free drinks and everything. And he used to always say to me, are you gay, Basil? Are you gay? And I used to say, no, I'm just really good at acting, because I remember what Sam said. But that's what it was like in those days. It was a bit taboo and... I think the Flamingo, like you just said, was the ladies of the nightclub. I didn't know. And Pigeon Fanciers Weekend, that still carries on each year, were coming up and paying £5, which is a lot of money. The girls were going out and coming back, and I was on reception. They kept giving me a quid. And in the end, I said, why do you keep giving me a pound? They said, it's a tip. I said, for what? They said, you know what you bought? I said, no. They said, it's the ladies of the nightclub. I said, oh, my God, I'm a madam. I didn't know it.
What were the halcyon days for the gay scene in Blackpool, in your opinion?
Well, when I started that, I remember being in the Clifton Bar, at the Clifton Hotel. There was a bar underneath, that was what they called gay, but nobody came openly. I remember being in there with Bill Kershaw, that ended up a big friend and manager for us, And I remember the police coming in one night and telling us we all had to get out because we were queer and we all had to leave. And Bill said to me, come to this other bar called Lucy's Bar that was open. And he said, that's gay as well. So I went down there to Lucy's Bar. But there were no gay clubs or and it was just underground bars. So when the Flamingo opened, after a year, all the gays started coming in. And the Pigeon Fancy's Weekend a year on, they came in. They didn't know who were men and who were women because there was a lot of drag in there and everything. And it went completely gay. And then I ended up buying the whole of the property because I only leased the top floor and the people below went bust. And I tried to get money. And there were Bassies where the housing estate is now. And I went there to borrow money off them and they were all agreeable to it. I remember being in this office with about five men. As soon as I said it was a gay club, two of the men got up and walked out. The other two men just looked out the window and didn't correspond at all with me. And the one in the middle said, I'm sorry, we just don't do clubs like that. And I was really lucky because I used to go to, I think it was called Morecambe Bay Wise or something like that in Blackpool. There was a place and there was a guy there called Mark and he said, a brewery called Vokes from Sunderland are lending money and they'll come round and help you. And they came and said, yeah, how much do you need? And I told them. And they said they had it in bank account in a week. And that was the start of the whole building. And then it was a TARDIS, you know, when you went in. It was just, I made it through the spiral staircases and everything. I mean, your wonderful dad used to come on the licensing visits.
He was chairman of licensing, wasn't
yeah,
he, at the time?
Yeah, yeah. And with Olga Brewer.
That wasn't frightening at all.
No. Simon Bridge and that used to come along on the licensing. And they used to go around. And I remember one night, Barbara Windsor was staying and she was sat at the bar. And Olga Brewer on the licensing visit, can I go and talk to her? And I don't remember the chief inspector, Chief Mackay, who was a very religious man, and he was very nice, and I tried to be jolly with him, and whilst she was talking to Barbara Windsor, he was there with his stick, and he said to me, Mr. Newby, can I ask you, are you a practising homosexual? And I said, no, I'm absolutely perfect at it, to try and be jolly, and he stamped his stick and said to the licensee, come on, we're out, and off out they went. But then it just escalated to anybody that was a big name wanted to do the Flamingo Club. We had to take that on before they were famous. The amazing Divine, Grace Jones, all the big stars used to perform there.
Absolutely amazing memories. And, of course, out of that was born Funny Girls in 1994.
It was, because in the late... A lot of straight girls used to come in the Flamingo because they felt safe. And then the straight guys used to come in to try and cop for the straight girls and that. So it did come up, but I used to go around and stop the straights if they were kissing them or anything and say, you can't do that in here, it's a gay club. but then the AIDS epidemic hit and it was horrendous because we couldn't even get a plumber out to mend the boiler because he was scared of catching AIDS off the boiler. And people would leave and get beaten up and called AIDS carriers and everything. But the Flamingo had that, I don't know, that warmth, that love. People felt safe in it, and we lost a lot of friends and young boys, you know, that were 19 and 20 year old dying of it. It was just dreadful years, those. But when it came to kind of peter off, I wanted a place to open where everybody were welcome. I didn't want to go through that again, where it was so segregated, where if you were gay, you automatically had AIDS, and if you were straight, you didn't. And I wanted a place where it was going to be welcome to anybody, no matter what your creed, your colour, from 18 to 100 or anything, and whatever your sexuality was. And that's when I got the idea for Funny Girls.
30-odd years later, you were celebrating still in the middle of Blackpool, creating some fantastic memories, but in a brand-new building, well, a brand-new building, 1938 yeah. building, which you took over.
Yeah, the Odeon, when the council CPO'd the old Flamingo, which I have to say, I never, ever got over. I still get upset when I go past it. But it was so special, that club, to me, and I just loved it. And the flying handbag that was next door to it, the new handbag, was never the same. And for me, it wasn't. I mean, it moved on. But I remember being in the new flying handbag and the builders that were demolishing the old Flamingo and the whole Flynam bag got to the last bit to pull down. And I remember them coming over to me and saying, "Will you just come over and just while we pull the last bit down?" And I said, "No, I'd be too upset." They said, "No, you've got to come over." And they took me over. And as we crossed that road, there must have been 200, 300 people there. And they all started clapping as I got over, which was really emotional. And then they pulled the last bits down. And then they lined up. And it, not just gay people, it was straight people that come up to me and telling me how that club had changed their lives and what it had done. And it was lovely. Parents were coming up saying how they accepted the sons and the daughters and if they were trans or gay or lesbians or anything because of that club, because they'd take them into that club and say to the parents, come and see what it's like and bring them into the Flamingo.
Sainsbury's now stands on the site of the old Flamingo, but there's something special about aisle 22, isn't there?
Aisle 22, believe it or not, I only recently found out myself because it's very confusing when you go in there, is where the dance floor for the Flamingo was. And it was really weird because one day I was in there and ABBA, they played music in the background, and it was ABBA Dancing Queen. And this guy came up to me and said to me at that time, aisle 22 is where we used to all dance to Donna Summer's Last Dance and Dancing Queen, what they're playing now. And then recently, obviously, when all this is said about me retiring, there's been a few comments on saying aisle 22. And I feel like it's a bit, they should make a song of it or something, because it was like Woolworths wanted it. I think it was the Five and Dime store or something.
That's right, yeah.
And they did a song about that. I think they should do a song about aisle 22 to do with the Flamingo.
You want a plaque putting in there now, I believe.
I do. I'd love it because that Flamingo was so special. I mean, all nightclubs like the Hacienda and GAY in London are good, famous and everything. But I don't know, the Flamingo was just, everybody knew the Flamingo wherever I went, like they do with Funny Girls now. And, you know, I've done all these 47 years and people saying to me now, I walk around the village and say, "Basil, why are you retiring?" I'm 74. I went round town the other night at 1 o'clock in the morning and I thought, what's an old age pensioner doing walking round town at this time?
The timescale then on selling Funny Girls, what's is it?
Well, it's with Chris's and Co and they've got quite a few viewings next week that are going to come around. But for me, Andy, it's more than not so much the money-wise, it's the legacy of somebody to take it on to what I created. As you well know, in 2018, I had my cancer diagnosis with prostate cancer. I had mental health problems, I had a breakdown. I went to Thwaites and they said, I said, I need to get out of it. And they said, well, let's administrate the company and we'll take it over, see how you are. 6 months later, they came back to me and said, it's just out of our depth. It's not something we know what to do. So I want somebody that's going to carry it on. And that's more important than anything to me. And, you know, you get all these trolls going on saying, oh, he didn't do this in 2018 and all that lot. I've done 47 years. And in those 47 years, all the tourism, the pink pounds brought to the town, and, you know, all the taxes and rates are paid in all those years. One year I make a mistake because of my health problems and I get trolled, but I just ignore them now because I'm still proud of what I've done. I'm proud so much of everybody that supported me and I'm proud that I've done the pink pound good in Blackpool and brought it to Blackpool. I mean, now when I go out and I see all the zebra crossings with the rainbows on and everything and I DJed on the pier on for Pride Weekend and people were coming up to me saying, you know, Basil, you've been such a big part of this. And I felt so proud about it all. And I thought, I've gone on from that 1979 as an unfit and unproper person to hold a licence to the King giving me an MBE for what I'd done. It was like a pendulum, just how the clock had changed and gone. The pendulum had gone from one end to the other. And it's so lovely to see it now. I mean, at one time, as you well know, you couldn't dance in pubs or thing, and you wouldn't have a DJ in. And Funny Girls set that thing when it opened up for transsexuals, for trans, for drag, and somewhere to work that was safe. And to go to the Georgian Cafe afterwards.
Oh, the Georgian Cafe. My goodness
Everybody
me.
Everybody used to go in there.
Remember the Georgian?
after the Flamingo.
After the Flamingo Club, yeah. Such happy memories and so many of them, Basil.
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
And as you know, it's been going on for 5 years now, but you're here. My book's finished.
Yes. And we talked about this 5 years ago.
Yeah. And it's finished now. I've got all the pictures I'm going through to get it done. So I'm hoping that's going to be out probably early next year. Bitches in Stitches.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And it's got all the... Well, I was born in Blackpool. I used to go to the Odeon Cinema at 5 years old to watch Bugs Bunny on a Saturday afternoon, never dreaming what life had in store for me.
Yeah, and a bone in the building. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
Basil, it's been absolutely terrific to catch up with you again. I'm sure this won't be the last time that we chat, because I don't think you're going to disappear off the scene at all, are you?
Oh, God, no. I mean, sometimes I read some of those messages and you think I'm dead. And
tributes are being paid, etc. Yeah.
I expect to find flowers at my gates here.
You keep going, kid, and thank you so much for joining us, and have a happy retirement when it comes, because it's not here yet.
No, I'm not. And I'm still going to go in. I still, at the moment, I'm going in just Fridays and Saturday nights, and just keeping my eye on the ball.
That's quite enough for a man of your age.
Of course it is. Yeah. Ridiculous, isn't it?
Basil Newby, MBE. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.